Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the second guest show. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be here until 6:30 tonight, and then we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network, and it'll be our Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss will be the host, along with Bobby and Saints head coach Kellen Moore. Their guest tonight will be Saints offensive coordinator Doug Nussmeier. We'll join the show, and then we'll clip Monday Night Football. Bob, will we get a kind of a preview, a little bit of the Bears, who the Saints play this coming Sunday? A couple of quick notes that have happened in the NFL around noontime. Kind of got the tip that Brian Callahan would be fired. He became the first head coach in the NFL fired this season. So Brian Callahan is out with the Tennessee Titans. I told you a couple of weeks ago, I'm surprised he lasted 2 weeks, because I know who wanted him out, and she got talked out of it.
The owner.
By the general manager. Give him a couple more weeks. They did get a win in a crazy game against Arizona last week, but, man, it was a debacle yesterday against the Raiders. And so Brian Callahan out with the Titans. And last night, if you watched the end of the game, Brian Branch, a former Alabama player, really good football player for the Lions. He's always been a little bit of a hothead, got himself in a little bit of a skirmish. He didn't want to shake hands with Pat Mahomes, and then him and Juju Schuster got into a come up, push and shove. Man, I've seen better fights around my house than that one. They said that was a big fight. No, everybody just trying to break them up.
But well, when the game's over, you got to be a good sport. I mean, you got to do it now. Cheap shot.
You
get blocked.
You don't do that on Monday Night Football. Sunday Night Football.
You get blocked in the back, and then stuff like that happens all the time. I remember one time we played the Eagles in Philadelphia, and Eric Martin was kicking his ass. Remember? And he couldn't cover. Now he could hit you. Run support. Andre Waters. I go, okay. We going. You know, you shake hands, go in the line, and as soon as. Eric Martin passed Andre Waters. Andre Waters turned around and punched him in the back of the head. Punched him. I'm talking about punched him. Then Eric turned around to chase. Then he was just running away, like laughing at him. I go, man, what? And I said, you didn't have social media. People didn't film that.
See, they didn't have that back then.
Yeah, I'm like saying, boy, you talk about not a good dude. To do that, to sucker punch, because he was
and
so...
And then run away.
Yeah, and then run away. He was so mad because the whole game, Eric say, everybody thinks he's tough. But I tell you what, Eric took pride in run blocking, and I'm going to, gore him. And Andre Waters could not handle it. The reason why Andre Waters lasted with those Eagles teams, because you had Clyde Simmons, Reggie White, and all rushing.
Yeah, so Jerome he would be better. Brown at one time.
So in pass coverage, but he was more a run... went to Cheney State.
Yep.
He went to Cheney State, but I never forget that. So when I saw that, I go, man, players sometimes, when the game's over, you got to be a good sport. You got to shake hands.
But they called that a fight. Bob, like I said, I've seen better fights around my house than when that one was. Everybody was trying to pull each other, the guys away. Well, Brian Branch has been suspended without pay for the following game. So that hurts a player more than anything.
Well, you have to get their attention, and all the other players
on Sunday Night Football. Well, everybody watching,
and all the other players around the league, they're going to see this. No, I don't want to lose a game check, and stuff. So, no, that's how you got to get their attention. You can't just blow that off. You have to say no. Between the whistles, between the lines, now you're going to miss a call now and then. You get mad and all that. But when the game's over, it's over. You can't. Now, you can't be a hothead. Now, you can't.
And Brian's on the verge. He's always played with that chip, but you got to let that go sometimes. And Branch hasn't been able to do that.
Well, and No, the Lions got humbled by the Chiefs.
And
it shows you, you know, when you have the chance to make plays, you have to make plays. You have to score touchdowns, not field goals. Look at the scenario, the situation. The Lions should have had 7 points instead of three. You know what we talk about? But the Saints and all. You know, Jared Goff, there's a great play design, but you got to stop. You got to play with the rules. And so it was a penalty. And then you look, who's a better St. Brown, a receiver, than
Amon-Ra?
St. Brown. Mike, he drops the ball. Who else drops the ball? For the Saints, Olave. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but Amon don't drop that very often.
But no. But
last night he did.
No, and then just to look at how, when you look back and how it dictates the outcome.
The flow of the game,
yeah,
yes.
The outcomes of the game. But, Mike, when you talk about coaches getting fired, and Big John sent us with both the texts that, no, it has, the seal has been broken. Because every year, 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired. So now we have one. And it doesn't mean that you're going to last more than 1 year. I'm not talking about Coach Kellen Moore. But Aaron Glenn with the Jets. I love Aaron Glenn.
Yeah.
Aaron Glenn was a great player, a great secondary coach. He did a great job as defensive coordinator with the Lions to become, you know, the head coach with the Jets. But how can you play an NFL game and you don't have 100 yards of offense and you have minus yards passing?
And their defense played well enough to win.
Well, the game was 13-11. You know, I heard yesterday that there's been three games in NFL history, and one of them was like, I want to say 86 or 83, 13-11. You know, because we do the board here and you the numbers.
No way you picking 13-11
yeah,
game.
Yeah. When do you ever see an NFL game 13-11? I'm telling you what, Sean Payton has to be concerned right now because the Broncos got an awesome team. Bo Nix is a little inconsistent, Mike. I'm telling
Vance
you.
Vance Joseph has bailed them out.
Yes. Vance Joseph
that
done outstanding.
Is bad to the bone.
No, they the new sack exchange. They're talking about getting sacks. No, they get after the opposing quarterback. So, yeah, that's Sean Payton's baby, Bo Nix. When he made that statement, I think it was premature. Oh, no, Bo Nix is the next Drew Brees. I go, come on, Sean. You got to slow your roll. He has to do something first. The one you don't have to slow your roll for MVP.
It's Drake May.
Drake May. But
Baker,
you know,
Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield. Well, now, I know we don't crown the MVP after 6 games. You know, we got a lot of more football. But Baker Mayfield has been unbelievable. I mean, dropping dimes or running the football. And it just makes Cleveland Browns organization look more dysfunctional. And, you know, he actually won a playoff game for Cleveland. Baker Mayfield, they ran him out of town.
Remember, too, he was with Carolina, the Jets.
Yeah. No,
nothing worked out.
And then it kind of turned when he went to the Rams at the end of the season. Then all of a sudden, right opportunity, right fit. You know, that's why a lot of organizations are going to be where we can't give up on maybe a young guy that we invested in too early. Two guys, perfect example. Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. Look up the Browns and the Jets. Sam Darnold's at the Jets. Like, what? He was at Carolina. What? Nothing. And you look, he gets to the Vikings, Sam Darnold. Look with Sam Darnold now with the Seahawks.
Okay, because they got a lot of people in Chicago that went nuts about Caleb Williams. And watch Caleb early in the year. He didn't look that good. Watch him the last couple games.
Well, he got the best coach. I mean, if he don't succeed in the Ben Johnson, he needs to look in the mirror.
And I'll say this now. Look who the Saints have played, and look who they face now. They maybe have the best receiving unit as a core than the Saints have played all year. Think they have DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Luther Burden, who they picked in round
from Missouri,
two from Missouri. They got Cole Kmet at tight end, and Colston Loveland, a first-round pick tight end.
Well, you better have a short-term memory if you're a young DB with the Saints, because they got got exploited against the Patriots, and they better be ready because the Bears are going to try and do the same thing come Sunday.
And again, their offensive line sort of reminds me of the Saints. They've had all kind of false starts, jump-off sides, procedure penalties before the snap. But if they get it clean and they've given Caleb Williams enough time to throw and he's not this impromptu quarterback anymore, I think he's much more confident with throwing the football in the pocket. But when you got that type of talent around you, man, you got to make it work. And I think Ben Johnson is the right coach for him.
I can tell you how we're not beating the Bears. And we might not even beat the Jets or the Titans, who are the Dolphins. Whoever you think's the worst of the worst, this cannot continue. We cannot let the opponent score a touchdown in the first two possessions. What? Then we always chasing points. We're always behind. You look at the Saints right now, four straight game, New Orleans defense gave up back-to-back touchdowns on its opening series. So you're always playing catch-up. How can you win? We've been outscored in the first quarter 65-16. I mean, Cole, we're not that good enough to have to, but we need to set the tone. And Mike, we play hard. We within one score at the end. Now we got to get touchdowns instead of field goal. We can elaborate a little more as the show goes on in the red zone area or just right outside the red zone.
But that game opened up the view for other teams to do exactly what Drake May and the Patriots did, attack the young secondary.
Well, and you look at the drives, Mike, the drives. You want to talk about getting gashed. It's not, we gave up a long, sustained drive. No, it was like chunk play after chunk play, four plays, 65 yards, a minute 58. All of a sudden, they got 7 points there. Okay, you know what the next drive? Six plays, 69 yards. So, four, and that's not like four plus six is 10. So it's not one drive. There's two separate drives, and they already have 14 points. You can't do that.
No, and you can't do that this coming week against the Bears. They got way too much offensive firepower. We'll be back with more of the Second Guest Show right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on till 6:30 tonight, and then we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network. It will be the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hawes, Bobby Hebert, Kellen Moore, and his guest tonight will be Coach Nussmeier, Doug Nussmeier. Bob, you know, been knowing, and he married a Guidry. From Louisiana, didn't he?
Who's that?
Doug. The Coach Nussmeier.
No, he married an Hebert.
An Hebert.
From Lake Charles.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
I thought it was a Guidry.
No, it's an Hebert from Lake Charles. No. So with Coach Nussmeier, he said, Bobby, when I told him that, I go, well you know what? It ain't no Nussmeier blood. It's that Hebert blood that he got. And he goes,
now that you say it, I do remember you telling me.
No, and he says, it figures you would tell me that, you know, and stuff. So
Doug Nussmeier will be the guest tonight right here on the Saints Coaches Show. Bob, 25-19. Again, you had opportunities. You got to settle for field goals. I thought the Saints' run defense did a really good job. You know, Mike Vrabel wants to run the football.
Yep.
Man, Jonathan Bullitt and Davin Godshaw, I thought both had really good games.
This is Godshaw's best game. I guess you're playing your former team.
And Bullitt.
Bullitt, you want to have a good game. We didn't do good either. Both teams didn't run the football. They average, this is good. If we continue, 2.4 yards a run, 31 attempts. Now, we only had 23 attempts, 3.2. But this is not good. And you know why it wasn't good? We only had 51 plays. Usually 65 is the measuring stick. If you're getting it done, 65 or more. But it's not good because we didn't convert on third down. We went back to our old ways. We were good on third down against the Giants. But, Mike, we were 3 of 9, 33%.
And the Patriots were almost 50%.
Yeah. 6 of 13, yeah. So, we went back. We got to flip that script. The ebb and flow of the game and when you're trying to – really, when you look at it, Mike, nobody was punting. I mean, you know when you see a game
– they had the day off.
You might have, like, a turnover or something. The first punt of the game – came in the third quarter, and at Kroger, he needs to go work at Kroger's. He shanked it.
Man, he shanked that.
We don't have Kroger's down here. They have that. That's a Cincinnati headquarters. Yeah, they have that in Atlanta. But a Kroger supermarket, that's like the Rouses, you know. Well, no, a Kroger, he shanks it 4 minutes, 23 yards? Seconds. Yeah, I mean, it was not. I know one thing. Our punt coverage, I said this before the game, both the Saints punt coverage and the Patriots, because both return games going into last year, double digits. So you get that free first down, you know, the hidden yardage, field position and all that. And then right after that, the first punt, when you look at the Patriots, was 2 minutes and 49 seconds into the third quarter. And, you know, you could say like on downs or a turnover and all that. But, Mike, that was not the case. And I thought we had to win the turnover battle. We were minus one. We were plus five going into the game. Look, the Giants' defense forced a turnover, five straight possessions. That's not going to happen. But we ended up minus one for the game. We plus four for the season. And you look at the Patriots, they all of a sudden, they know that's a winning formula for them. Because they were on the minus side, and they got on the plus side for a game. So watch out for the Patriots, Mike. That's why they weren't going to overlook the Saints. Let me tell you why they weren't. When they beat the Bills, a divisional opponent, they probably said, oh, they're going to overlook the Saints. But no, they looked at they could go. Because I've been on teams like that. You have a chance to go on a winning streak. Because it doesn't matter who you play and when you play.
Their schedule.
Like the next two games. It was like the Titans. And there was another team.
Is it Jets?
Yeah. Whoever it is, it's like, hell yeah, they can win four games in a row. And so all of a sudden, no, we cannot sleepwalk into the Superdome.
I'll be honest with you, though.
And get off to a great start.
Their secondary, I'm not going to say it's as bad as the Saints right now, but it ain't much better. Because, man, Spencer Rattler, you know, that's a lot of Spencer Rattler hate out there. I don't get it. He can't throw it and catch it.
Spencer Rattler was 20 of 26. He could have been like 23 of 26.
A lot of you catch the ball.
How about you catch the ball? It's quarterback rating almost 103. Oh, well, Bobby, he didn't win the game. What? It's not tennis or golf. It's a team sport. No, I'm not saying Drake May's a different level.
I would think.
No, I think Spencer Rattler's very good. Drake May's great. He had a perfect quarterback rating in the first half. I mean, are we going to disrupt him? Okay, you think Drake May was worried about playing in the damn Superdome? He wasn't freaked out or nothing, and he's young. Bobby, I mean, there ain't no don't feel advantage right now. If you look at Drake May right here, Mike, this right here, he did his most jet damage in the first half. He just shredded the Saints defense. He was 11 of 13 for 185 yards, three touchdowns. He had a perfect passer rating. And we know about perfect passer ratings because we've seen Drew Brees do this against the Patriots. Yep. But all of a sudden, now we got it done against us. So I was like, no, Drake May. They had one call in the post game last night. Said, Spencer Rattler's as good as Drake May. I go, No. Then I said, you're being who that? Yeah, you're being too
way
much.
Way too much you that on that.
Yeah. No, you gotta.
I got somebody tell me, oh.
You got to be objective.
He's always throwing to open receivers. On those third down conversion plays, Kayshawn Boutte came up big. Douglas came up big, Stephon Diggs, and I think he got cheated out of that long play. Man, if that's a pass interference call.
Yeah, when they called it on Diggs, that was not that call. No.
But that crew yesterday, ooh-wee, they were bad, and for both teams, they wasn't favoring nobody.
You know,
they were indiscriminate on bad calls.
We've done better. We made adjustments. We need Coach Staley and the defense. Okay, we made good adjustments in the second half. How about we do that from the get-go? We need to have a good defensive plan from the get-go, not the adjustments. That's good you have the adjustments. We got to get good from the get-go. But, Mike, because if you look at the points scored, because you look scoring offense, scoring defense, points total, but that one pass that if you look at Drake May's biggest pass to me was this last one. You look at that with that 21-yard, that was a dime to Kayshawn. It was third and 11. Holly dropped it in there. And then all of a sudden, you want to get the ball back, and
they took one away from him, too. You remember the referee? Now this is supposedly where you can't block downfield if you're a receiver on a. Now, if you want to call that a block, I mean, my thing about it is I've been around enough meetings. We've all been through these NFL meetings. Carl Johnson's explained to us all this numerous times. If you see something, drop the flag. If you got to go pick it up later, it's great. Watch what that referee did on that deal with Stephon Diggs. He doesn't throw the flag right away. He waits, gets a completion, touchdown, then he throws the flag.
What, he had, it looks like he had money on the game.
You can't make it look shady on that deal.
No, they ended up scoring on that
drive. They did end up scoring.
So it didn't matter. But if you look at – now, this cannot happen. Now, it's on the road. It's not in New Orleans in the Dome. We play in Chicago. We cannot let Caleb Williams have this kind of start like Drake May.
No.
Drake May, his first hit completion was a throwaway under pressure. It didn't come until like 6.5 minutes left in the second quarter. And the game was well within the real time in the game was an hour. It's like all of a sudden he's in a hostile environment and for a whole hour in the Dome. And that's the first time he throws an incompletion. I mean, how are you truly affecting your opponent? Right now, I'm keeping it real. We have no Dome field advantage.
No.
I mean, when the Patriots make a good play, I heard the crowd screaming loud. Now, you know how you stop that? And you might say, well, I'm sure depending on the team that travels to New Orleans and the support they're going to have, but you got to win. How you get truly a Dome field advantage, the team has to win. And you got to take care of... You know, you want to win on the road and be road warriors. You know who's the road warriors? Mike, you might know this. The Seahawks. They won like 8 or 9 games, something like that off the top of my head, on the road. Now, that's great. That's unbelievable. But you got to take care of your home turf. At home, you got to do it. If you want to get to double-digit wins, you know, used to be always do the Coach Mara, the 16-game advantage example. So you got 8 on the road, 8 at home. You got to go 6-2 at home and go 500 on the road. And then you win 10 games. You know, how do you get 10, 11, 12 games?
And well, now when you play 17 games, it's split even differently.
But the point being, no, we have no Dome field advantage. And I'm not exaggerating. It is so bad right now that when you look at it, it's Mike Ditka's days. Bobby, what are you talking about? No, Mike, I was in Atlanta. You were here.
Yep.
So 1999, I remember that year because I got put in the Saints Hall of Fame. 1999, that's when Ditka had a heart attack and he fell on the field. Him when he threw the Hail Mary.
Against Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Tim Couch.
And it's like, oh, they lost it. Well, Mike, that was the game. I rode around the Dome, waved to the crowd with my kids and all. Saints Hall of Fame, you end up losing. Well, when you look at that, they are now 1-5, that being the Saints. It's their worst start after 6 games since 1999 in Mike Ditka, his third and final season as a head coach. Now, Kelly, you know, it's amazing how you perceive the team and how we looked with Ditka versus Kellen Moore. I think Kellen Moore is the right coach. I know he knows what he's doing. Now, you can point the players in the right direction. They got to go accomplish on the field. But I think I tell you right now, and Mickey and all might not want to hear this, if they pay Chris Olave over 20-some million, then who that nation is going to go crazy? He's not an alpha. He's not a number one receiver. That dude has to be the reason why we finish and won games. Not, oh, he missed the ball. He'll get him next time. How many chances are you going to give him? Oh, he got 2-3 strikes. We're going to continue. No, now Juwan Johnson, I think he's a very good tight end. They invested money in him. But you need your players that you are counting on, you need them to step up and be the difference maker. And like when the game's all over, oh, they were the difference. That's why we won. You know, not like, oh, they had a big hand in why we lost. Now the young secondary, let me tell you, I don't hold it out against them. They're learning what to play. Like Sanker and Quincy Riley. Ooh, they got humbled yesterday. You know, Sanker, all of a sudden he gets a nice article written about him in the paper. And then you know, about his history.
And everybody's patting you on the back. You're great, kid.
And then
NFL is humbling.
Humbling. It ain't going to slow down in Chicago because of copycat lead. Yeah, the Bears are going to run the same damn plays at the Patriots sometime in the game to see if you could stop it. That's always been the case.
These DBs are peeking into the backfield, and they got receivers running past them. You got to keep up with your receiver. You can't be looking into the backfield. And the Patriots saw it on tape. They saw it on tape and attacked
that area. Well, the thing is, as a receiver, you know, it's kind of finesse position. Eric Martin, I'd say, was a physical receiver.
Yes,
you would
he was.
Never call him finesse. He wasn't a speedster. But you cannot be – I don't care. I don't think like Chris Olave is scared. But I think he's definitely aware – him getting those concussions and then knocking him out? No, he's soft as cotton. It is what it is. I mean, look, he starts out the game. He could have had an unbelievable game. If you look, Chris Olave, he had 6 catches, 98 yards, 60.5-yard average, 53 long game. But he got targeted 10 times. They're giving him every opportunity. I'm telling you. To me, if you're not a difference maker to help the team win,
you can't get paid big money.
Exactly. Exactly.
It can't happen. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. We had a couple people ask about who's going to take over the Titans. It'll be Mike McCoy. Mike will be the interim head coach with the Titans. He was the senior offensive assistant. He actually was the head coach in 2013 through 2016 with the Chargers.
I remember that name, yeah.
Okay, Mike McCoy was the third-string quarterback in NFL Europe with my neighbor Joe Clark. The first two guys, Jake DeLone, Kurt Warner. Mike was the third-string guy. And he was with Carolina. He was offensive coordinator with the Panthers.
Well, so sometimes those type guys make the best coaches. They don't really play in the NFL, but they had that experience. Like Sean Payton. Sean Payton was a scab. You know, the strike game in 1987 with the Chicago Bears. They have a picture of Mike Ditka chewing out Sean Payton in 1987. No, he was a scab quarterback for the Bears. No, look at Sean Payton. He's going to go probably in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a coach, but not as a player. No, when you think of, like, quarterbacks, Eastern Illinois, directional school. You know, we got directional schools in Louisiana. But Sean Payton went to Eastern Illinois. You know who's the most famous Eastern Illinois, I think, quarterback?
And Tony Romo.
Tony Romo.
Garoppolo.
Sean Payton's way down the list.
I would go
Tony Romo, even though Garoppolo got to the Super Bowl.
It would be Romo 1 for me.
Rome and Jimmy G 2, and then Sean Payton. They probably might have somebody
now,
else.
Now, for the nightlife, Jimmy G is number 1.
Oh, yes, yes. But the only thing with Jimmy G, I mean, okay. I can't, now, who you in love with. Now, Jimmy G is probably one of the most handsome professional football players ever. Now, you know, probably has a lot, he could select from a lot of different individuals, you know, that who he wants to date. But then why are you putting all your business out there and he's going on actual dates with a porn star? Now, you might want to mess around with her. I mean, you're going to go on a date in public? I mean, I never understood that about Jimmy G. I mean, his mom and grandma and all couldn't be too proud of that.
If he was on the bike, you'd say he ain't haunt.
Yeah, no, he's not shy. He's not bashful.
He's not haunt.
But, yeah, Jimmy G. I can tell you, the last thing impression I remember Jimmy G, when we played the Rams, I hope he's playing quarterback and not Matthew Stafford. The Saints could upset the Rams. Jimmy G was terrible. in California. When the Saints were practicing against the Rams, now that's when, remember, Stafford's back was all jacked up. He wasn't even at practice. He wasn't even doing nothing. That, you know, looked better, Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
From Georgia, looked way better than Jimmy G.
I remember you telling me that Bennett was a lot better than Jimmy G.
I go, no, I'll tell you, if Jimmy G's the quarterback for the Rams, we have a chance to beat him.
Let's go to our telephone lines. We got on Hollywood. Hollywood, in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Mike. How y'all doing?
All right.
All right, Hollywood swinger.
Hey, Bob, I got a couple of things to say. I think Olave should sit and get somebody off the roster to take his spot. And I think they should go to Rashid Shaheed more.
They ain't doing that.
No, that would be extreme. I'm not sitting them. But you know what I'm saying? You know what Houdat Nation members have asked me? And he ran back kickoffs. Why Mason Tipton? Mason Tipton's got speed like Rashid Shaheed. Why Mason Tipton's not getting more opportunities? Right. We've seen him catch balls in practice, not just deep balls, but actually running routes. I know he knows the plays. He went to Yale. I mean, he went to Ivy League school. You know he knows the plays.
Yeah, but is he just all missed the airline highway?
But no, Mike, he did good this preseason in actual games.
I understand.
Practicing
that
the game.
That ain't a regular game.
No, they're not game planning. I give him a chance. We gave Olave a bunch of chances. You know who else I want to give him a chance to? Because we traded for him.
Vele.
He caught one ball. Vele from the Broncos.
And he had a really nice catch. It's inside the five.
And a penalty.
And Kelvin Banks.
Yeah, he had a penalty.
Now, Kelvin didn't actually hold him, but you could see when I watched the tape again this morning, the DN comes off the edge, and his feet are slipping. He gets kind of low to bend, and he caught him high. And so, again, you impeded him to the quarterback. You're going to get that flag.
You know who's going to get exploited? Continue until he does something different. Trevor Penning is a terrible pass blocker.
He gets walked right back in.
Trevor Penning, they called a penalty on him. I go, and we had a nice play. I mean, hell yeah, it's holding. He freaking tackled him, and he threw him down. Move your feet. Get in front of him. You're a big dude.
It's Ruiz.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
No, listen, Trevor Penning was the weak link on the offensive line.
Ain't no question about that. Yeah. What else you got for us, Hollywood?
Hey, Bob, what about the defensive line, the front four? Why we don't confuse the quarterback at all during the whole game? Why they sit back there like they can read our whole defense and don't get no pressure, don't get no sacks, nothing?
Well, you know, when you think about it, you know, actually had a couple of quarterback hurries and a guy that no one knows, Nathan Shepherd.
Yeah.
And then you had Pete Werner had a quarterback hurry. We're not influencing the quarterback. When we just, like a basic pass rush, we're not trying to trick him with a stunt because the only sack we had was Pete Werner. Well, he's a linebacker. How about, now he's maybe easing back into it, but he ain't easing back into nothing. We paid him $17 million, Chase Young. I mean, you know, here he is. Mike, he had one tackle. I mean, who's winning and losing in the trenches? No, we did not dictate the ebb and flow of the game on the defensive front. We just didn't do it.
And they are playing two rookies, the left guard, left tackle. We know all about the left tackle and Will Campbell. But the left guard was the guy, his first time he's ever played guard. Bobby's always been a center his entire life. They shoved him over the guard. He's starting right alongside Will Campbell. Back-to-back rookies next to one another. On the left side, Drake May's blind side.
No, Mike, and you look at – you got to take advantage of that. You would think that we'd have more impact. Now, you very seldom see a D tackle or whether you're running 3-4 or 4-3, an interior lineman leading the team in tackles. Maybe because it was his, he wanted to have a good showing.
But Godshaw, good.
He had 7 total tackles. And usually it'd be like DeMario Davis. I don't know if he's ever had a game where he's only had 3 tackles total. He's always around 10. I mean, that's interesting. You have to look back and see. Is DeMario Davis, he lose a little step? Because, Mike, he's always been hitting that century mark, 120. Only 3 tackles in that game. Pete Werner actually had more highlights. Like I said, the sack, quarterback hurry, tackle for loss, pass defending. And then we even, when you look at Stutzman, even got to go in a series, who I think is going to be the future maybe alongside Pete Werner when, not this year, but in the future instead of DeMario Davis.
We'll be back to finish it up here in our number one of second guests right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in our number one of the second guest show, Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We'll be back with more second guests right after this news break.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.